In case anybody wasn't here or didn't remember the rules, I'm going to try to use most of the first hour just to talk, and then, so let's keep, you know, the questions to an absolute minimum, and then we'll open up questions, the question time in about an hour, and we'll take questions and so on, try to deal with that. So otherwise it's going to too much interruption is going to just run longer. All right, praise the Lord.
We're going to have a coffee break. Get a
coffee. You'll have to just get it however you can. We're not going to have a coffee break. You're just going to have to get up there and get your own coffee, or get somebody to go get it for you, brother.
Amen.
All right, Judges 16:26. Then said Samson unto the lad that held his hand, "Lead me and cause me to feel the pillars on which the house stands." This class we call the 10 pillars of end time events. And I like to say that I have located what I believe are 10 pillars that hold up the house, the eschatology house. Number one is the 70 weeks. Number two is the acceptable year of the Lord, versus the day of his vengeance. Number three, this generation shall not pass. The meaning of that. Number four, Jerusalem destroyed. Number five, the third temple built. Number six, the rapture date is not set. No Roman Empire, revived or otherwise. A premillennial rapture, not necessarily pre-trib or mid-trib or post-trib, but premillennial. Armageddon, premillennial Armageddon, and a postmillennial Gog and Magog. Now, basically, all of these pillars, if you get the 70 weeks right, if you just get the 70 weeks right, you're in good shape. Because all of these pillars that I think are essential for an understanding of the end times flow out from an understanding of the 70 weeks, or the prophecy of the 70 weeks.
Yes, sir.
If you mess up the prophecy of the 70 weeks, you're going to get everything wrong. So we were talking about, last time we started talking about the 70 weeks, and I'm going to go, you got a handout, I've passed out this handout. This is not exactly what you had last time. I noticed that the thing I handed out last time, down at the bottom of the page, I had messed it up. My secretary messed it up, which is me. I had, for example, 490 total. I had 490 weeks. No, it's not 490 weeks. It's 490 years, right?
Yep.
It's 70 weeks. 70 times 7 is 490, but it's not 490 days. It's 490 years, remember? Mm-hmm. So we're talking about weeks of years, not weeks of days. Now let's go back and let's read. Get your handout out, and I'll read it with me. Let's start here in Daniel 9:24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Now this is important. This is absolutely critical. You have to understand that the 70 weeks are determined upon the Jewish people and upon Jerusalem. Nobody else. This is the only city that really counts. It's the only people who count in this end time prophecy, because that's what it's all about. That's what it's for, okay? To finish, this is what's going to happen in 70 weeks. Number one, we're going to finish the transgression. Number two, we're going to make an end of sins.
Right, that's awesome right there.
Number three, make reconciliation for iniquity. And number four, to bring in everlasting righteousness. Number five, to seal up the vision and prophecy. And number six, to anoint the most holy. In other words, this is a mouthful. In other words, the angel told the prophet Daniel that at the end of 70 weeks, everything that you hope for, that the Jewish people have hoped for since the days of Abraham, everything that you dreamed for, prayed for, worked for, lived for, died for, and everything that the Jews still work for, live for, hope for, pray for, every single thing on this list will be accomplished at the end of 70 weeks, 70 weeks of years, 490 years. So he told, and this was, he told Daniel this was long. This was, let's see, about the time, this was about 521 BC when this vision allegedly occurred. So he told Daniel back in 521 BC, he said in 490 years. Now that ought to, send up some red flags for you right there. In 521 BC, he said, I'll give you 490 years and everything you want to see will have come to pass. In other words, Messiah will be here. He will have established his rule and reign upon the earth. Everlasting righteousness will be in. Satan will be bound. And peace will come in. All right? Now, obviously, there's quite a distance between 521 and 490. So, he knew that obviously it was going to be a while yet before it started. And it was. And we'll talk about when it actually started. Now let's go forward here, if you got your Bibles, read with me. I just read you verse 24. If you got your Bibles, let's go to Daniel chapter 9. It's hard to imagine a more important and critical chapter in the Bible than Daniel chapter 9. Jesus once said regarding the parable of the sower, he said, if you can't understand the parable of the sower, how can you understand any parable? And it's true of this prophecy. If you cannot understand the prophecy of the 70 weeks, how can you understand any prophecy? It's the backbone of prophecy. It's the hub of prophecy, according to Brother Yanyan. It's the most important of all prophecies. Everything is in it. It's got everything in it. And it shows you how everything works. So, all right, read along with me. Let's go to verse 25, Daniel 9, 25, and we'll read down to the end of the chapter. And I know there were a number of you that weren't here last week, so some of you have had a chance to listen to what we talked about. Some of you haven't. But we need to go over this and over this and over this from every different angle. And I'll tell you, by the time that we're through with this, you all are going to be able to write books on this. You all are going to be able to write books. You're going to understand prophecy so well. This is the easiest thing in the world. End time events, eschatology. It don't get easier than that. It's easy. This is so easy. All right.
Grace is hard.
Praise God. Verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. In other words, 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks, that is after 62 plus the 7, shall Messiah be cut off. But not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate. All right, praise the Lord. Now everybody understands that perfectly, right? Got it all down pat. All right, we're going to go at this from a different angle, and I'm going to go back because you notice that the angel gave this prophecy out in three different segments. There was a 7, a 62, and a 1. So he said seven, there's 1 week, 7 weeks, that's 49 years, plus 62 weeks, 434 years, right?
Yes.
And 1 week, that's 7 years. Now, just to catch you up and just, you know, sort of jump ahead, we've had this over here. We've had the seven. Jerusalem was rebuilt.
Yes.
That segment is done. Mm-hmm. We've had the second part, 62. This is 62 plus 7 is 69 weeks. This one ended when Jesus rode into town on the little donkey.
Right.
In 32 AD. That one ended. This one has not yet come. Well, obviously you ought to be saying, well, how is that possible? Because it's 490 years. However, obviously they're not consecutive. We had this segment and this segment were consecutive. But after the end of this one, there was a break. And time stopped. And time is now stopped. Last time we talked about what it means to be off of the clock. You all that punch a time clock, this means something to you to be off the clock. You know what it means. You punch a time clock, you punch in, you're on the job, and you know you have to account to your boss for everything you do. He's looking over your shoulder all the time. Everything you do, you're responsible for it. He's, you know, and you're accountable for it. You punch out and you're on your own. You're on your own time. You can go over in the corner and take a nap if you want, and then nothing he can do about it. Because he ain't paying you for that. So, I mean, you know, you're free. You're free then to do whatever you want. Well, that's where we're at right now. We're punched out. We are off the clock. The clock is not running on us. Now, the clock will start again, and sometime in the future, we'll talk about all that, but sometime in the future, that clock will begin to run again. And when it does, there's 7 years to go. No more. 7 years. And Jesus will be back on this earth. Once that 7 years runs out, Jesus will be here on this earth to rule and reign for 1,000 years. He will literally be here on the earth for 1,000 years. There will be universal peace and prosperity. We will, of course, be in our glorified bodies. And we'll be ruling and reigning with Him. Glory to God. All right, now, I'm going to go at this from a little bit different angle tonight. We're going to go down to this third pillar. Now, we've talked about, you know, the first night, the first 2 weeks, we talked about Gog and Magog and Armageddon. We wore them out. I don't want to beat that dead horse anymore. But if he pops his ugly head up, we'll hit it again. But we're going to go to this time, tonight I want us to talk about this third part. This generation shall not pass until. Before I do, I want to ask you this question. And we talked about this last time. I'm going to bring it up again. I want somebody to help me to critique this statement. Like I said, by the time we get through this class, you all are going to be smarter than the prophecy gurus that you can hear on TBN every day. All day. You'll know more than any of them. Speaking things that are not as though they were. I heard this statement on TBN some time ago by some prophecy guru that you all would know if I mentioned his name, and he was on the program of another prophecy guru that you would certainly know if I mentioned his name, but I'm not going to mention any names, but I am going to quote what he said, and I want you all to tell me. Now, some of you were here last time, so you probably remember from last time. Some of you weren't here, so if you absolutely know the answer, I really don't want to hear from you guys. I want to hear from people who don't know the answer, all right? You're all going to know the answer. I want you to help me critique this statement. This man made a statement. He said, this is what he said, quote, "The miraculous rebirth of Israel in 1948 set the prophetic time clock into overdrive, end quote. I'm going to repeat that. The miraculous rebirth of Israel in 1948 set the prophetic time clock into overdrive, end quote. What's wrong with that statement?
Maybe he drives a Ford.
Excuse me. Ford's been a long time.
We know GMC is God-made.
Oh, man.
What's wrong with that statement? Can anybody tell me just right off? I mean, I guess. Okay, let me. Does anybody see? Huh? Does anybody see anything wrong with that statement?
Yeah.
Okay. That's true.
I don't understand what he says by overdrive.
Yeah.
Well, don't worry about overdrive. Let me put it. Let me tweak it a little so just to take that off the table. All right.
Started it. Yeah.
Let me tweak where you know. The miraculous rebirth of Israel in 1948 set the prophetic time clock running.
Okay. They started it back. That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
But then,
in other words, it put it on a fast track.
Well, then they said it after 67 too.
That's right. That's right.
It means
88 raises what? Jesus comes back in 88, and then he didn't come, so he wrote another one.
I wasn't resurrected.
That's too many years because there's
too many years.
Okay, according to Daniel, there's only 7 years left.
Exactly.
That's right.
70,
that's right.
We're all,
first of all, the clock is not running. It wasn't started by the rebirth of Israel. There's nothing in the scripture that says the rebirth of Israel, or there's nothing even, basically, there's not even anything in the scriptures that talks about a rebirth of Israel. You cannot find one scripture in the Bible that says Israel's going to be reborn.
Country was formed in a day or an hour. That's where they get that.
All of the prophecies about Israel's restoration are when Israel accepts the Lord.
Right.
And God brings them back into the land. There is not one scripture anywhere that says Israel will come back to the land or that God will bring Israel back to the land in unbelief. In apostasy. They are still in unbelief.
Yes.
They are still in apostasy.
They've been trying to stop Christians from coming over there now.
That is correct. And if you're a Christian Jew, they look, you know, crossways at you then too.
Oh, yeah.
So we're right where back basically where we were when Jerusalem was destroyed in the first place. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. When they were chased out of the land in 70 AD, nothing has changed. They're still in unbelief. Just like they were when they left, they're still in unbelief. There is not a scripture. I'm getting way ahead of myself now. But there is not a scripture in the Bible that says that God will gather Israel in unbelief. Every time when he says he's going to gather Israel, it's always when you realize that you have sinned and you call upon God and you repent of your sins and you walk in my ways. What did Jesus say? No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It cannot happen until the prophesied return and rebirth of Israel has not happened. And it will not happen until they say, blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord. In other words, until they acknowledge that Jesus of Nazareth was the Messiah.
Amen.
Now they've tried this before. They've done this before. I mean, you know, Titus flushed them out. And no sooner did Titus turn his back, and here they come on back in again. And they did. They gathered back together again. And like you said a little bit ago, in 135, well, actually, in 132, they rose up against the Roman army and threw all the Romans out. They chased all the Romans out of Israel. And for 3 years, Israel was in absolute control of its borders, more so than it is today. Nobody could tell them where they could go and when they, what they could do. If you didn't know it, if you don't know it, there's a lot going on the Temple Mount right now.
Big time.
The Arabs will not allow the Jews to even pray on the Temple Mount.
At all.
They won't allow Christians to pray on the Temple Mount. So Jews and Christians cannot pray in the middle of Jerusalem. That's not sovereignty, people. That is not sovereignty. Now, when God gathers Israel, they will be sovereign over their own country. It ain't happened yet. What you see there is not what's prophesied in the Bible. So what you see, and we're going to see in a little while, what it is that starts the clock running, but it is not any kind of a rebirth of Israel that starts the clock. It's something that Antichrist does, making a covenant with Israel that starts the clock running again. And once it runs 7 years, that's it. That's it. Okay. Well, anyway, so for three years, Israel held complete sway over its own country. Then Hadrian came. And he really crushed them that time.
Well, he killed their Messiah, too.
Yes, he did. They had him a Messiah.
Yeah. Where they actually turned the prophetic law to fit him.
They found him a Messiah. And they killed him, of course. Hadrian drug out a plow, and he plowed a furrow around where Jerusalem, the walls of Jerusalem, where it used to stand, and he plowed a ditch around there and said, any Jew that crosses this ditch will be put to death. And that kept him out for a long time. But of course, you know, they've always been going back in there. There's always been a Jewish presence in there. And of course, and what you're seeing right now is not the fulfillment of a prophecy. You can't find me one. Okay, well, we're going to move on. All right. I'll come back to that. Believe it would take up a whole time on that. All right. Now, nothing illustrates what I just said a little bit ago. Nothing illustrates about the 70 weeks. You can't understand the prophecy of the 70 weeks without understanding you can't understand prophecy, end time prophecy, without the 70 weeks. And nothing illustrates that better than the following example. Matthew chapter 24. Now, if you know your Gospels, you know that Matthew 24 is the one where it talks about, Jesus talking about the end times. And talking about all of the things that the world events is going to precede his second coming. So let's start in Matthew 24 and verse 1 through 3. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples said unto him, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you. His disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? This is the Olivet Discourse, where Jesus describes the events that precede his second coming. Let's skip ahead a few verses to verse 29 of that same chapter. Jesus said, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. The stars shall fall from heaven. The powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Now that's a little bit like Daniel chapter 9 and 24. Daniel 9:24 said before the 490 years is out, before the 70 weeks is over, everything will be done. Jesus said, before this generation is done, everything will be done. He said, this generation will not pass till everything I just described to you has happened. Stars falling from heaven, sun turning to sackcloth, the moon into blood. We're not talking about blood moons. The Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Yeah. Now, without reading all of Matthew 24, we all know that this is it where Jesus answered the three questions. When shall Jerusalem be destroyed? What's the sign of your coming? And the sign of the end of the world? Jesus talks about the great tribulation, the abomination of desolation, the sun being darkened, the stars falling from heaven. Then he says, this generation shall not pass till all these things have happened. This is the Olivet Discourse, the second Sermon on the Mount. Well, this is a problem. What's the problem?
They're all dead.
They're all dead.
You have to understand what a generation is, what he's talking
you
about.
You do have to understand what he means by a generation, all right? That's exactly what we're talking about. All right, they're all dead. Have these things happened?
Nope.
They have not happened. Here's the problem. Either they have happened already or they haven't. Will you agree with me on that? Either they have happened or they haven't happened. One or the other.
Exactly.
Praise God, I'm in solid ground here. Now, in either case, we have a problem. If they have happened, then they certainly didn't happen literally, right? They didn't look anything like what they sound like they ought to look. Right? We didn't expect that. So if these things have happened, what else didn't he mean literally? So, you know, I mean, if Jesus didn't mean that he was literally going to come in the clouds, you know, and then all these things were going to literally happen, then what else might there be that aren't going to happen literally that, you know, we have no idea. We don't know what does that do to your faith? If you can't trust Jesus to tell you what's going on, what does that do to your faith? Don't go too far with that, because I know you know the answer. You know the answer. I want to wait a little farther before we get to that. All right, you're absolutely right.